Yeah, I feel like I'm in purgatory.
Okay.
I am in this limbo where nothing is happening.
Yes, like purgatory. This is what we're getting in definition. And by that, I mean, yes.
I feel like I'm in this holding center.
Yes. I feel like I can't go backwards or forwards. I'm like insane.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Would you like to kick it off?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and kick it off with hashtag penis news.
Of course.
Yes, my favorite segment. Celebrating the member. The male member. So this is a really weird one. This comes from this.
That is the creepiest thing. If we have
celebrating the member.
If it were like a weekly article in a newspaper.
Yeah. Well, then the thing about penis news is
celebrating the member.
Because someone asked me why do I do penis news? It's like it's not so much that I am interested in penises. I love the idea that there's always some news about it. How often is there like breast news?
Right.
You know, unless it's like cancer or boob job or something like that. But foot news, right. You know. Penis news, there's always something. It's all over the world. So, hashtag penis news. This comes from Paris, France.
Of course.
And it says, artist who tied rooster to penis in Paris, guilty of exhibitionism.
What? Wait. Not bestiality? Okay.
A South African performance artist who tied a live rooster to his penis during an impromptu. By impromptu, it means like nobody knew. There was no, like, it just popped
up.
An impromptu open air show near the Eiffel Tower. Plenty of people there to see it. Was found guilty on Monday of sexual exhibitionism.
Okay.
But the Paris court did not impose a sentence, they said. So this happened last September. Stephen Cohen danced in the tourist-filled Trocadero Plaza dressed in a corset.
Fine.
High heels.
All right.
Long red gloves. Good. An elaborate feathered headdress.
Nice.
And a rooster attached to his penis by a ribbon.
A ribbon. So it was a leash? Or was the whole bird?
But the roosters like I grew up with would have gone right for it.
Yeah.
Like they would have headed right for his penis and pecked the shit out of him. But so basically, he did this dance in, you know, plein air, as it were, in front of the Eiffel Tower. And people were, of course, a group of nuns came by. What is this, a Mel Brooks movie?
The nuns come in.
Do they all have like little kids with them as well? Was it like Madeline?
Then the Hasidic Jew comes in and is like, oh, hey. Right, yeah.
People in a wheelchair, a blind man, everything, horses. So the police saw him and they arrested him, and probably rightly so, because I don't think you can do that even in France. You can't get your Johnson out or your Johnson.
You can't do it, but I totally get him.
Oh, I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
The lawyer said she was relieved that he was not sentenced. It's a rather measured decision. In my opinion, this case never should have gone to court.
It was measured.
And so in March, the Le Figaro, which is a daily paper, there said the authorities have, Cohen says, the authorities have, quote, no understanding of what art is and what performance is. No, I think they do.
Yeah.
They just didn't like you getting your dick out.
That's it.
And tying a chicken to it.
Yeah.
He said, if I'm found guilty, I will see it as a failure of French justice. So this guy just got to France 10 years ago. He's got his dick out. He was fined €1,000 or $1,400. Right. Hey, the euro's gone down. It's not bad. That's the interesting part of the article for me. Hashtag financial penis news.
My only thing is that it just should have been done indoors in a space.
Yeah, it should have been done in a space. And I don't know how I feel about... I mean, I didn't see how the chicken was treated, but it doesn't sound like a good thing for the rooster.
No.
You know, if he was... I don't know if he was harmed in any way.
Unless it was like a loosely tied ribbon and the chicken...
Some
corn was put down and it could like kind of roam free a little bit. And it was only for like a moment or two.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about the chicken or the rooster in this case. So he claims he's some kind of performance artist. So he does interventions in the public realm, according to his biography.
Apparently, in the public realm.
Yeah.
So he's too cheap.
So he can't
get
a space.
Yeah.
So once in South Africa, he wore an illuminated chandelier tutu and walked through a squatter's camp as it was being demolished. Haven't they suffered enough? I don't like that kind of shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of people suffering around you. Like, I'm gonna waltz through here, like with a tutu on. So the artist says that his piece was a reaction to a homophobic, xenophobic, and anti-Semitic world. I don't know what any of that has to do with that.
No, I don't.
He said, and showing the most intimate part of me, I guess his penis, which is becoming less intimate by the minute, people. Like getting your dick out.
That's the most intimate part of him?
So here's what it is. Showing the most intimate part of me. I'm saying I'm male. We saw that. I'm Jewish. I'm queer. And I'm white. Okay.
Well, fine.
Is that the most intimate part of you? That's what showing your dick says?
I think.
How are we supposed to know he's Jewish from looking at his penis? A lot of people circumcise. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
How am I supposed to know he's queer? By looking at his penis. I mean, I can tell he's white and he's male. Not really, you know. I don't know.
I get him, but he should have done it elsewhere.
I think he should have done it elsewhere. He says the rooster was named Frank.
Oh.
That's with a CK. Was not harmed during the performance. The animal was chosen because it's the emblem of France. I don't know. I mean, hey, I'm as open-minded about public art as the next person, but you're lucky that they let you get away with this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if you weren't white and male,
it would have been a problem.
It would have been a problem. So, I mean, you're lucky. Good for you. I still don't know how showing your penis shows everybody that you're Jewish or queer.
Yeah, well,
because I can't tell from a penis. Unless the penis has written on the side of it, I'm kosher and queer.
A lot of guys are happy to show their penis, and it just doesn't matter.
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. I get what he's saying about using the emblem of France, but I would like to know how he attacked anti-Semitism with that.
That's right.
So anyway, that's the penis news for today.
Very nice.
Yeah, penis news.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, I have the week in Bateman.
Oh, awesome. Walking. I see Christopher walking.
Yeah, I know. That's for the next one. This one is different.
Okay. This time is different.
Okay, this is the week in Bateman.
Yeah, Jason Bateman is an actor who we say that we respect. We're not sexually attracted to him.
We're not in love with him.
No, not at all. But we find him decent. He's in the Academy, and we like to report on what he's doing from time to time. So Katie has some Bateman news.
All right. This is amazing.
Okay.
Okay, my new favorite show is Billy on the Street.
With Billy Eichner?
Yeah, Billy Eichner.
I saw him do a thing where he said, I hate art as much as Tyler Perry.
Yes.
So he went out on the street and interviewed people, and when they answered a question right, he destroyed a painting.
Right. About Tyler Perry. If they knew about Tyler Perry.
He destroyed a painting.
Yeah. So anyway, Billy on the Street runs around the streets of New York City asking...
Literally running. I wish I would see him.
Oh, no, me too. It's like a game show, really, and he has a segment called Quizzed in the Face.
Okay.
where he stops you and asks you a series of questions and you win money. Or even he'll stop you and say, for a dollar, answer this question or do this thing and give you something to do. Anyway.
And it's in New York, so people are like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. But then he'll have celebrities on from time to time, and he had Sean Hayes on.
Okay.
Remember Sean Hayes from Will and Grace?
Okay, he plays the small gay guy.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Sean Hayes is there. He said, okay, this game that we're going to play is called Who is the most famous person Sean Hayes can get on the phone? So
that's a fun game. Okay.
So Sean Hayes had to pull out his own phone, scroll through. There was 60 seconds on the clock, and he had to figure out who was the most famous person that he could and dial them and try to get them on.
Who did he dial?
Jason Bateman.
He has Jason Bateman in his phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was like Jason Bateman, and he started giggling, and he pressed the button, and they're waiting, and he's like, oh, no, that's FaceTime. I FaceTimed him
on
accident. And so he had to stop it, and then...
Was it too late?
It was too late, and so then he had to get the next famous person, and it was Kristen Bell.
Okay.
And she answered.
Why not?
And then they were like, hi, you're on Billy on the Street, and then they hung up on her.
I like that even as a celebrity, it's like, oh, look, I got a call from... Oh, they just want a bit.
Yeah.
So he almost FaceTimed Jason. Jason Bateman was probably like, damn it.
Yeah.
Someone's calling me. Why'd they hang up?
But he was considered, in Sean Hayes, contactless, the most famous person.
And the next famous, most famous was Chris. Oh, who would pick up?
Yeah.
He probably had other people who was like, I'm not calling.
I don't feel like talking to Sean Hayes right now.
But he could have other people in there I'm not going to call Dennis Rodman because I don't want to reveal that about myself.
Right.
Like, there's probably people that he's like, oh, I'm not calling Matt Dillon.
No.
Everyone will know what's up.
Yeah.
I like that. So that's our week in Bateman.
That's the week in Bateman.
Thank you, Jason Bateman.
All right.
So I have springtime is here. It's upon us, as we like to say about everything. And Katie and I are luckily past the part of our lives where we're going to 8 weddings a year.
That's, thank God.
I just stopped going to second weddings. So
no,
I'm past that point, too.
It's all funerals and second weddings.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it says, attending weddings can be as expensive as throwing one. Let me just put it out there wholesale that I don't like a wedding. Okay?
No.
And if I can get out of a wedding by writing a check, I will. Because you don't want me at your wedding. You want my money, for the most part. It says, weddings are expensive, even if you're not walking down the aisle. So this is for New Yorkers, so it's going to be outrageous. Shantae Bridges expects to spend more than four large to attend weddings of three friends this summer. So she's not even in the wedding, and she's going to be spending four large. The money is going for dresses, shoes, gifts, and tuxedo rentals for her husband.
Yeah.
And that hasn't even taken into account spa days, spontaneous group dinners, or other events that are likely to happen as the big day gets closer.
Yeah, everything.
It used to just be you would have maybe a shower. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bachelorette party,
right.
And then the wedding.
Right.
But now there's like all manner of ways that you can waste money on these people's marriages that probably will last, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, you have to have, like you said, the spa days, and then there's the destination weddings, you have to pay for a flight and a hotel.
Yep.
And
so it says here, being invited to a wedding can put a major dent in your finances. Ditching the wedding often is not an option. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's always an option.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy to get a check.
Yeah.
Believe, it's not you. It's that toaster. That they asked for. This woman says, Shantae says, I'm big on relationships. I have to be a part of that big day. No, you don't. There's like 200 people going to this thing.
Yeah.
No one's going to mind if Shantae isn't there. She's been putting away $400 a month since the Save the Date cards rolled in. I'm glad we're old. $400 a month?
A month? How do you find that in your budget?
Everybody gets $200 when they get married from me.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So they went to a CPA. And she says, saving should start before the invitation hits your mailbox. So it's nowadays they're saying, as soon as someone gets engaged, you should start saving money. F that. I say you can start saving money, but keep it.
Right. Right. That's the thing nobody tells you as a young person, that you're going to have to, these weddings, you're going to be invited in. It's going to be stressful. It's going to be financially a drain.
I don't go. Don't forget to set aside money for expenses. Fun wedding shower gifts. I think I've been to like two, and I think at each one I gave a bottle of Patron, and a C note. Bachelorette parties. If you can't afford them, don't feel obligated to, but let the bride or groom know early that money is tight.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens. You know, for the first couple of, in your circle of friends, everybody goes all out.
For the first one.
Yes.
Then if you get, people who get married at 30, people are like, here's your secret.
Oh, yeah, I can't make it because of the baby.
Yes.
I can't make it and I can't give you anything because of the baby. Like, it's all the babies. And what
That's
can
a
you
good
do?
Reason to have a baby.
Yeah, right. You don't have to get out, go, and you don't have to
Still
spend any money.
Cut that like, check for two C-notes, though. Roll up off the C-notes.
They don't? No, because they've got, come on, they've got a baby.
All right. I always give money.
I'm just saying that it turns out, like, once some people get theirs, then it's like, see ya.
I'll take it out that baby. Your baby need both those feet?
No.
It says, this one woman, Jackie Marta, took a side job to pay for 6 weddings she's going to. The Cranford, New Jersey teacher tutors 2 or 3 times a week to use money to pay for weddings. What are we in Eastern... Okay, she expects to spend more than $4,000 again on dresses, cash gifts, and overnight bachelorette
those
parties.
They better be good friends.
They better stay married.
They better stay married, and they better be... Not pulling the whole, oh, I'm having only couples over for dinner.
Yeah.
And leaving her out in the cold.
But I just find it so bizarre. I think maybe it's just fueled by this whole thing of, like, we're a common people here in the United States. Do you know what I mean? Like, even wealthy people, it's not, these are not royal weddings.
Yeah.
50% of all people get divorced.
Yeah.
I would hold back.
I always, like, when you hear about the divorces...
I want some of that money back. I gave you two C notes. I want a C note.
That's how I feel. I'm like, look.
Another woman says she's expecting to spend $3,000 on weddings this summer. She has cut down on going out and stopped herself from buying a purse that she wanted. I hope she's going to be okay. The purse is going to last.
I know.
Okay. She said, it's a rough time trying to save all that money. How bizarre. When I was younger, my friends were getting married. It wasn't that expensive. Like, it was very, you know, they would have, like, a nice wedding dress, but if you were a bridesmaid, they'd be straight up David's bridal.
Right.
And then try to sell it later. Or rent a dress.
Right. We used to do, I used to pay, back in the day, $100 was my gift.
That's a lot back then.
Was my gift.
Yeah.
And
that's today's 2 C notes, people.
Yeah.
By hiking inflation.
I remember when it went up to $125.
Ooh. I'm trying to, well, also, too, I guess I've been lucky to have a lot of friends who, and this is going to sound awful, most of my friends are gay, and they weren't able to get married.
That sounds
so
awful.
I know it doesn't sound, but that's why I haven't been, like, I haven't dealt with a lot of these things. It's like a $4,000, you know, thing. Although my friends who are gay, who have gotten married, they are also divorced as well.
You know what? It's really nice, people. Like, if you really want to socialize and see everybody, just wait for the deaths to come in. Because, you know, not to be too morbid, but the
Really? Because we're talking about death? Couldn't get more morbid. That actually is a definition of morbid. Yes.
But, yeah, when people, you know, if they're not very close to you, and you go to the wakes, then you see everybody.
Yeah.
And you can talk.
And then you can wear this, unlike with weddings, where you have to, people are saying, like, oh, you can't wear the same dress twice. I'm not getting married. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, who cares? They're like, oh, Instagram. What are people going to say? She wore the same dress twice, and then...
Then what?
That's it.
Yeah.
It's unconscionable to me that people are putting away $4,000 to go to some weddings. Your celebration of your half-baked idea to get married for the next couple of years should not put little Samantha out for large.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I can't even save up for large for myself. What's social about it?
Well,
you know what else is social? What? Karaoke. That doesn't cost four large.
It's a dollar per song.
Yes. Max. So we would say, instead of going to Rebecca's wedding... In Barbados. Karaoke.
That's right.
Karaoke. Shout out to Jaeger.
That's all.
That's all. All right, what do you have?
I have some advice.
Okay. Advice on Advice is a section that we do where we find advice on the internet that, frankly, is unqualified.
And it stinks.
It's terrible. It's putrid. And so we give advice on that advice because we do it one better and we do it meta.
That's right.
So what do you have?
So this is from Since You Asked.
Okay. This is a New York site, isn't it? That would be my sense you didn't ask.
So it's Carrie, K-A-R-Y.
Okay. That's the most unusual spelling.
I don't know. Just saying.
And
the question is, dear Carrie, I need help. I feel like I've dug myself a hole and I don't know how to get out.
Okay, get to it. Jeez.
About 4 months ago, I separated from my husband.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult.
How? Physically? To extricate myself from his grasp?
But okay. I made some demands for him to get help for his long-term chronic depression.
Okay.
And for us to go to marriage counseling.
Okay.
I actually thought he wouldn't agree to it.
So they have health insurance, basically.
I had demanded before, and he didn't, so I had a timeline, and he didn't.
Wait a minute. He already didn't do it, but you thought he might do it this time?
Yeah.
All right. He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, right. And then he didn't do it, so I left. It was amazingly difficult to walk out the door for my partner of 19 years.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I've grown up with him, but I don't feel like he supports me.
I feel like he supports himself.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in purgatory.
Okay.
I am dramatic. In this limbo where nothing is happening.
Yes, like purgatory. This is what we're getting in definition. And by that, I mean. Yes?
I feel like I'm in this holding center.
Yes. I feel like I can't go backwards or forwards. I'm like in stasis.
Yeah, well, we're in counseling. He has seen his own but stopped when we started counseling together, but our counselor told him to go seek more serious mental health care.
Okay.
Hard part is I still see him. We connect once in a while, and after each session, he talks about how he's feeling more positive about things.
Oh,
we're supposed to check in, but we haven't.
I'm going to put my bias out there. A couple's therapy, I'm like, just get divorced. Anyway.
All right. Meanwhile.
Oh. Bum, bum, bum.
I have started seeing my old lover.
Hey.
I need
to. Who knew?
Yeah. Oh, I need to mention that I was caught cheating 3 years earlier.
In flagrant? Like, how? Like, I always want to know when people say they are caught cheating. Was her hand on it?
Yeah, was caught cheating.
Like, what was happening?
Oh, yeah.
Was she in a maid's outfit? He's dressed like a cop? Like, what happened?
And so she's still with him. So, is there a connection between the husband's depression and her cheating?
Oh, I don't know. 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. All right, so about this lover. He is a sweet man who treats me like a goddess, both in and out of the bedroom, but his life is complicated.
So what's the problem? Oh, his life is complicated. Okay.
He's divorced because of his relationship with me.
Uh-huh.
With a complicated custody agreement of his 8-year-old. I don't know how I could
be
with him.
Must be some sweet, sweet
I know, right?
action.
Right? I don't know how I could be with him, but I know I can't while my marriage is essentially on hold in purgatory.
It didn't bother you before. When your marriage was, like, in hell or heaven.
Yeah, so she didn't really care about the mental health of her husband.
But now that the marriage is on the rocks, she's like, maybe I shouldn't be double-digging.
Yeah. Now a new man has entered in my life, and I really want to get to know him.
She doesn't have any problems.
But I can't. I've lied to him about how far along my separation is to try to keep him around.
Wait, this is the third guy?
The third guy.
What about the second guy?
Yeah, she's got the sweet guy, but she's got a new one.
She's just juggling.
Yeah. I feel like I'm self-destructing. I'm using these men as distractions.
Exclamation point. You don't need that. That's another problem with this advice.
I can't even.
Punctuation.
I know.
The redundancy, the punctuation.
I can't even start the conversation to tell him I decided I do want to end the marriage.
I'm just wondering if there's a fourth guy in the wings. He's helping me write this.
He doesn't know me yet.
He doesn't know.
I go to our house, watch TV with him, and talk.
With who? The husband?
I've decided I do want to end the marriage. I go to the house. Oh, wait, no. I can't. No, with the new guy, the third guy.
Okay.
She wants to talk to him, but she doesn't, you know. Okay.
I got three things to critique here. Okay.
Me reading is the fourth.
No, it's confusing.
Okay. So we don't communicate even though we're learning how. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. What?
What? Okay, so let's review.
Wait.
And then before you go, I just want to make sure I have everything. So she's married. She cheated on her husband. Mm-hmm. He's depressed.
Yeah.
She said, let's get you some help. He said no. Now she's like, I'm walking out the door. I want you to get help, and I want to do counseling. Now they're in counseling.
You're right.
Meanwhile, she's still having it on with the guy who she was having an affair with yeah. while she was with her husband.
Right.
Like, legitimately. But now that she's...
And his marriage fell apart, and his divorce...
She broke that up.
Yeah, and the 8-year-old is suffering, too.
The 8-year-old is suffering. But she doesn't know if it's okay to cheat now that she's separated.
Right.
Meanwhile, enter man number 3.
Yeah, she wants to get to know him.
Uh-huh.
And they don't talk enough.
But they're learning how to talk to each other, and yeah. I'm putting talk in quotes.
Yeah. They don't communicate, but they're learning how.
They're learning how? Yes. Wink, wink. A nod and a wink. Okay.
Wow. They're exploring each other.
Yeah, they're checking things out. Yeah. Communication comes later.
Participation in therapy was supposed to help me be more assertive and voice my feelings without being afraid of hurting him.
But meanwhile, I'm just too busy gobbling up all that cock. What is wrong with this woman? Who has time for this? Who has time to date 3 men and go to therapy twice a week? Mm. You're like, yes, who?
Right, exactly.
Indeed, who?
Okay. Let's see. I'm afraid of hurting him. It's exactly what the last 4 years of our marriage have been. If I do something to make him happy without me, he makes me feel guilty.
Mm-hmm. You don't seem, is that having sex with other men included in that?
I know, right? I know it's emotional blackmail. The marriage counselor even acknowledged it. My mental state can't take this anymore. I've reread both Contemplating Divorce and Too Good to Leave, Too Bad to Stay.
Huh? Who was writing these things?
Yeah, I've come to the same conclusion several times.
Okay, which is?
I need to end it, I just don't know how.
Okay, let me help you.
Signed, stuck.
Just get away from everybody. Yeah, you are a cancer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're bad for you, and you're bad for the people that you're sleeping with. What are you talking
about?
And for this 8-year-old, somehow, who's gotten sucked into this I mean, first of all, this is why, no matter what you think about the morals of it, this is why people shouldn't be cheating. These people don't even sound happy.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I don't even know what you're doing.
She's cheating with a guy. The guy left his wife, or the marriage dissolved over, and now she's like, peace out.
Yeah.
Like, she's about to move on to the next thing?
Yeah. No, she's juggling the lover.
That's what I'm
saying. Juggling her husband and juggling the new guy.
The new guy.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
And she's learning how to communicate with
him. What's the advice?
Okay. Dear Stuck, what is holding you back, in my opinion, is that you have not faced the moral and emotional consequences of your action.
She got caught.
Yeah, let me restate the fact in a
way.
But
that didn't matter.
That's almost cruelly blunt. Mm-hmm. You cheated on your mentally ill husband, broke up a family of an 8-year-old boy, and now we're stringing along a new lover by lying about your availability.
I like it. Okay.
Of course it sounds mean, but it isn't.
It doesn't sound mean.
No,
it sounds like
a summary.
A recantation of a summary. Exactly. It's a summary. Like, if this were like some kind of a test in school where you had to read something and summarize it, this is the winner.
Yeah, right. You may be angry at yourself for getting into the situation.
She doesn't sound like it. She just sounds upset that she got caught.
You may be angry at others for not being more mindful to your needs. You may feel forced. You go to such lengths to get love and attention you crave.
What lengths?
You are loved. You are not a bad person.
No. You're not loved, and you're horrible.
You're somebody who sought to get her needs met without unpleasant consequences to yourself. But in doing so...
That's the worst kind of person.
Yeah, you had to do things that you probably didn't feel comfortable doing.
She seems pretty comfortable with it.
You did it because you were desperate.
No, she wasn't.
No, you didn't see a way out. You broke a sacred promise. You lied to someone you love.
No, she doesn't care about that.
And then you damaged the lives of some other people you don't even know. It will hurt to know this. It will be tempting to try to find ways to avoid knowing it, but it won't help. Only facing it will help.
How's she going to face it?
You must do some emotional work.
Oh, God. Mm-mm.
You could do the emotional work in therapy, but it sounds like that's not happening.
You need to leave town. Leave everybody alone.
Another way to do this emotional work is to go to Al-Anon, which is free. I don't know where you're on.
Where did that come in?
I know. I don't...
Is she an alcoholic?
No! No, it goes on. For those of us who have recovered from addictions through the use of 12 steps, know it's helpful to own up to our own feelings.
I mean, for some people. Some of those people are just annoying.
Yeah. We have to admit when we're at fault, make restitution. When we can stop hating ourselves for how we have fallen short, we can forgive ourselves.
Okay, I don't know if she can. I didn't know that she was an alcoholic.
She's not an alcoholic. She's not. Al-Anon, okay. Al-Anon is.
Is it for people whose parents were alcoholics?
For spouses.
How is that going to help her stop fucking everybody?
Exactly. Okay. That's why I'm like, why are you pulling Al-Anon? Al-Anon is for the people who are in a relationship with an alcoholic.
Okay. That's okay. That makes sense.
Nobody's an alcoholic. Nowhere in this scenario.
I don't remember. Yeah. Did I miss that? Or, you know what?
She's just saying that the 12 steps in Al-Anon may be helpful to you.
But you can't, what is this, fucking Fight Club? You just can't go to a meeting because you need some support. The meeting has nothing to do with you. Yeah, what about exactly. The people in the meeting?
Yes.
There's going to be people there who are like, my whole family alcoholics. You're like, I fucked 3 people.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. It's like, I'm in love with this person who is very, very sick.
Yeah. Is anyone in your family an alcoholic? No. Are you with an alcoholic? No. Get out.
Get out of here. You could have listened to it and like... All these stories that you hear are incredibly, personal.
They're horrible. Horrible, not personal, horrifying.
To repeat it and stuff. Yeah. And so this person is advising her to
go. Can't stop screwing people. That's a different meeting. You know, that's for the so-called, the people with the sex addictions,
yeah.
Supposedly. It's just 3 people, too.
Yeah, and then it goes on. You know, it's my suggestion. Try doing the 12 steps with an Al-Anon
supporter.
So here's
the thing. I procrastinate a lot.
Sponsor.
Can I just go to Al-Anon and just get in on some steps? Like, do I need to do all 12 steps?
Or I need to lose some weight.
Al-Anon. Just go on in there.
I need some financial advice.
Al-Anon. It's all Al-Anon. 12 steps.
Learn to love yourself. And
I guess Al-Anon is probably like the lowest level of 12 steps because the people who are in it are not the ones with the problem. So maybe that's why they're like, if you have any kind of problem, Al-Anon.
Al-Anon. Just go.
I lie, Al-Anon. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. That's terrible.
I'm bad at Excel.
Al-Anon. I'm bad at Excel. That always comes up. I hate Excel. Al-Anon. I can't deal with it.
What are you?
Jeez. That's some advice, all right.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
There we go.
So I have something here.
Oh, what?
Now, I had heard about this quite some time ago. There was a steakhouse called She that opened up. Do you remember? This was like maybe 2 years ago. So a few years ago, Desperate Housewives star Eva Longoria, who...
It's fine.
I have a bias when I see these kind of women. I always think that they're stupid, which is not right. But a lot of times they are stupid because a lot of people are stupid. So she opened up a steakhouse for women called She, capital S, capital H, small e.
Oh.
She.
What?
Longoria said the restaurant would create a feeling of empowerment for women.
Wow.
And challenge the notion that steakhouses are a place for men. Steakhouses are a place to eat steak.
That's it.
Like, I don't eat steak, but when I go to a steakhouse, you know, I usually have the lobster or whatever. There's plenty of women in there.
Everybody, it's just for people who like steak.
Who like a steak.
And men tend to like steaks. Fine.
But I've also gone into like Old Homestead and seen tables full of women and they're gobbling down on steak.
Why do you need to be empowered to eat
steak? Well, I'll tell you why. In New Year's Eve 2012, she opened its doors. Oh. She, the restaurant, not she. Eva Longoria opened her doors.
God, help
and
us.
And that empowerment boiled down to smaller, she-sized portions.
No.
Mirrors on the dessert menus so women could reapply their lipstick.
No.
Sexy decor. And the piece de resistance was a catwalk where women in scanty clothing perform for the restaurant's male and female guests. How's that supposed to empower me?
So I'm supposed to be reminded to eat smaller portions, look good, there's a mirror.
Yeah.
Get up and get those pieces out of your teeth, first of all.
Yeah. And reapply your lipstick.
Reapply, and then look at
this. And then look at skeletons walking up and down the runway while you eat. Because you know it's not going to be regular-sized women. It's going to be those little tiny Ukrainian, starved models that come around during Fashion Week.
This is terrible.
That's the idea that a woman has for a woman's steak restaurant.
A string of bad ideas just put all together. That.
But then she must be an idiot. You know what I mean?
I liked her. I thought she was A-okay.
So she isn't the only game in town that is trying to do female-friendly. Another international steakhouse claim.
Are the steaks all pink for women?
All pink all over. Another chain, STK, received backlash after posting a female-friendly promotional video featured sexist images of stilettoed women feeding each other steak.
Ew.
Why is that supposed to get me to a steakhouse?
It doesn't make me want to go.
Look, I'm not into chicks. I don't have a problem with it.
I would like to see men eating steak.
But I don't want you to feed me a piece of steak. Don't ever do that.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not going to do the same for you. And I'm not going to wear stilettos while I do it.
Good.
That's supposed to get women. There was another one, a pink sports bar in Union Square.
No.
And the owner said, we did a softer design because we wanted to make it inviting for women. So they don't feel like they're sitting in a kind of men's club. Who gives a shit? Really?
This is just...
Another guy, the Bachelorette's Chris Bukowski opened up Bracket Room, a female-friendly sports bar in Virginia.
Bukowski, get in there.
Hey, Bukowski, he'll sort it out. Yeah, Bukowski. Small plates and sexy decor.
What's the sexy decor?
First of all, I don't want less food when I go to a restaurant. Sexy decor?
It just sounds like a lot of pressure, less food.
What's wrong with a to-go container?
Give me a regular size steak.
You know what? If you want to make a female-friendly restaurant, put a foot rub in there.
Right. That's
you
it.
Know?
That's all
maybe,
I need to
maybe
do.
For straight women, some hot men.
Yeah.
You know, for gay women, some hot,
hot
women.
Friendly ones.
Hot, friendly men.
Who pay attention to you and look you in the eye and smile.
Yeah. Like,
remember
people
where we were...
You know, basically everything that everybody wants when they go to a restaurant. To be treated well. You know, that's it. So they said, what do women want? It says women want to eat and drink in places where they feel safe and their minds and bodies are respected. I don't want a she-sized pork. I don't even know what that is. Is it going to be, you know, it's going to be the same price.
It's safe, I know. And the guy's like going to get the he steak and it's going to be the same price, twice the meat.
Twice the meat and better. A better cut of meat.
Yeah.
So bizarre. Why would Eva Longoria, first of all, think that women would want to eat steak while watching catwalk situations going on? That doesn't even make any sense.
No.
I don't think she has any, maybe she lives in a different world.
I think she does.
Because that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Maybe.
You know, a place that might work for women is like, just come in and be comfortable.
Yeah.
How about that? A place where women can go let their hair down and just chill out. You know? Or actually, a lot of women like to, you know, especially in New York, they're very busy. So maybe you could add some other things in that restaurant or adjacent to that restaurant.
Like a charging station for your phone.
Yeah. Like things that are, you know, you're busy. Or Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can keep track of what's going on in the office while you're out.
Right. Exactly.
That's it.
Well, I was telling you before we started this that I went to a restaurant that was for lesbians.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize it. My friend and I walked in and we were just like, oh, okay.
Ladies.
Ladies. And we didn't realize it. We sat down to eat and we looked around and the decor was a lot of women in pictures. And we're like, there's a lot of women in these pictures. There's a lot of women at these tables. There's just all women.
Just women. But aside from that, was there anything, like, were there, like, lesbian-sized portions?
No.
It's just, like, a decent restaurant that caters to lesbians. It's just probably not that much of a difference.
Yeah, no, there was nothing else different except just a lot of females.
Was the menu themed in any
way? No, there was nothing.
That's what I'm saying, you didn't even know.
Yeah.
Except that there happened to be a lot of lesbians there, only women there. Which you assume most of them are lesbians, but a lot of probably were just like, you know what, fuck, this looks good, it's a burger.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So that's just, you know, hey, you didn't know it, basically. Like, on the back end. Like, really, women just want to go to a regular restaurant?
Yeah.
You know, women, a lot of women go to Hooters for the wings. Like, if, you know, if women
aren't... I love wings, but I haven't gone there.
I've never gone to Hooters because I'm not into wings. But if women are not bothered by that, that is not made for women.
Mm-mm.
Okay? Women just want some good-ass wings. Maybe watch the game.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Eva Longoria, get a clue.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So, I feel an announcement coming on.
There is an announcement.
Oh, what is it?
This is about Cinema.
Yeah, if you've heard the opening and the closing music, then you've enjoyed Cinema's music for free. Now you can pay for it.
That's right. Cinema is on tour with Black Flag.
And Whore. H-O-R.
Right. It's Black Flag's Victimology Tour.
Yep.
The North American Tour 2014.
So, that's Canada too, people.
Yeah, so with special guests Cinema and
Whore.
H-O-R.
Yeah.
All right, and it's kicking off on May 15th.
Yeah, so it's already started.
That's right.
Run. But it goes on.
It kicked off on May 15th.
It kicked off on May 15th, and it goes on until when?
And June 28th, but maybe there's going to be some surprise dates.
Yeah, and there's definitely going to be some surprise dates. We got the inside word on that one.
That's right. We got the advanced.
Yeah. So if people are looking to find information about them, where can they find it?
Go to cinemacinemaband.com.
Yep, and it's going to all be there. I love the poster. It's like, what is it, a jaguar and a cheetah? And we change it every time. And a puma. There's only two cats there, but we're giving it three names.
I like it. It looks like it has, like, the Coach logo on it.
One of the cats looks like a guy I went to school with who's a wrestler.
Nice.
Very interesting. Ooh. All right, cool. So, speaking of I don't know. There's no segue to this at all. Tales from the Campfire.
Can you give me an introduction? Tales of the Campfire. Yeah. Tales from the Campfire is a segment wherein we retell a ghost story, a legend, myth, folklore, fake lore, around the digital campfire.
Yeah, so gather around, everybody, for this one. This is, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I'm calling it Sharoof, as in Sharoof is on fire. So the Sharoof, this is from Chile.
Okay.
And the Sharoof is an evil creature, and it's humanoid, but it's made of rock and magma. It looks like the Thing. I think this is where the Thing came from.
Okay.
It said that the Sharoof, and that's Sharoof plural. It's plural and singular, the same. They hang out in the magma pools. They don't hang out there. That's where they're from.
They emerge.
They don't just kick it there. Okay. From magma pools deep within Chilean volcanoes. And that is what supposedly causes earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. So this is an ancient
When they come
monster.
Out?
When they start kicking around.
When they just move.
When they just move around.
Sharoof.
They're also said to be...
Stay put. We don't need this mess.
They're also said to be the source of the magic ardent stones, which are meteorites that fall from the sky.
Oh, nice.
And also what's the things that spew out of the volcano. So like after the pyroclastic clouds, you have these big rocks, right. And that's supposed to be the Sharoof do that as well. They are all about an appetite for destruction.
All right.
They love to destroy things.
I can get behind
things.
That.
And you can guess how they can be stopped. Now, they're in a volcano. So what?
Water.
Virgins.
Just get a lot of water. Pour it on.
And virgins. You throw those into the volcano. You have to sacrifice it. Yeah.
So
legend has it that once the Sharoof was finished consuming the more delicate portions of its victims, I guess the feet, it would delight in the macabre game where it would ignite the heads and then fling them around.
Ew.
Yeah. So I'm guessing it's not just a virgin, it's like a buttload of virgins. Go
you
in
know,
there.
I don't like the misogyny.
Well, what can I say? They you taste know, good. You could try water, but that's not really as scary.
I was going to say, they don't sound very scary to me.
No,
I'm
except
not
for the virgins part.
You know,
that's the fear part. Because the virgin fear is like, not only you as a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yes.
Not only are you as
a
virginal virgin
scared, Katie Casimir,
but the whole
in Chile
community is now scared. Because if you eat a virgin, you just don't give an F.
Yeah.
You know, what could be the joy in that? You want someone who's been around.
Yeah.
Someone who's been seasoned.
Right.
For your meal. The mythological origins
And you're damned if you do, damned if you don't for the virgins. Because it's like, I'm not a virgin. It's like, what?
I'd
stoned?
I'd love to go in there, but frankly, I've been having it off with everybody.
Right.
So the mythological origins, it's like a story that kind of explains the geological events such as the volcano. It's in some cultures, it's described as a reptilian humanoid creature.
Oh, well, that's scarier.
And it's similar to the dragon.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a lot of cultures with Born of Flames, it's the dragon, and this one is the Sharoof. It is also said that it's based loosely on the site of an actual biological entity. This is what the cryptozoologists say. Mm-hmm. That something that apparently can survive and flourish in molten rock. They don't know what that is. So, but the original legend is that it's not a dragon, a reptile, human, or a similar creature. It's basically, it's the rock creature, the Thing.
Okay.
The Thing is. So that's the Sharoof. Kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, and I'm like, pretty sure all the pictures that I found, basically that's where they got the Thing from. Because otherwise the Thing doesn't make sense.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
I think it looks like Michael Chiklis.
Yeah, it's like, and they call it the Rocky guy. That's what my niece and nephew called the thing.
The but
Rocky
does the
guy.
Thing have any, do you know any, like,
no.
stories about the Thing?
No.
It's just a Thing.
Yeah.
Or Thang, if you will. So what do you have?
Just to piggyback on that a little bit.
Sweet.
We
have
a listener email.
Gather back around, people.
Yes. Don't go anywhere. Yeah. This is from Kathleen from ABC Gotham.
Yay. And they've got some new episodes, so check them out. It's ABC Gotham, and they're on Podbean as well.
Yeah. Yeah. She wrote to say, I'm not sure if this counts for your campfire segment.
Seems like it does.
But some of these are terrifying.
Okay.
And she sent a link from Reddit.
Okay.
And it says, what is the best horror story you can come up with in two sentences?
Okay. So, it's like a contest.
Yeah. So
are these people's new stories, or they've taken old stories and made them into...
No, this should be all new.
Okay.
And so people are...
You heard it here first, people. Or you saw it on Reddit.
Okay. But I'm reading these at night by myself, and I tell you...
Why do you do it?
I don't know why I do this. Like, I guess because that's the time when I have the time.
Read it outside in the day, like in a park.
I know, but I don't have time during
make
the day.
Make that a terrifying place.
I know, but it's like I do a lot of my Hey You Know It stuff at night, and there I am in the Hey You Know It studio by myself.
That's the auxiliary Hey You Know It studio.
Yeah.
And our Jersey site.
Okay, so here it is. Horror story in two sentences.
Okay.
For years, we heard the little voices and footsteps of the ghost children in our old farmhouse, and we got used to them.
Okay, that's the first sentence?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then one day,
here comes the kicker.
And then one day they went quiet, which should have been our own cue to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Here's the next one.
Okay.
Growing up with cats and dogs, I got used to the sounds of scratching at my door while I slept.
Is this all feet noises? This is all foot related. Okay, fine.
Now that I live alone, it's much more unsettling.
Bum, bum, bum. What? Isn't that one about feet? Okay. It can be.
It can be.
I don't have a problem with that.
My grandmother told me that it was a gift to see the angel of death in front of people's houses.
Really? Whose grandmother's?
I thought it was a gift, too, up until the day I began to see it in front of every house.
You got issues. You know what? There's a new show coming on. I think it's called Dominion. Have you seen? Because everything's like a sci-fi, and it looks like the angels come back and they're pissed, and we got to fight them, which makes no sense.
Why?
I don't know. I couldn't figure out what
it was.
Makes
me feel bad about myself.
I just don't understand why angels are attacking. That's all. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I began tucking him into bed, and he tells me, "Daddy, check for monsters under my bed."
Mm-hmm.
I look underneath for
his. That's the second part. Is just H.
I look underneath for his amusement and see him, another him under the bed, staring back at me, quivering and whispering, "Daddy, there's somebody on my bed."
Hey, I like that one.
Scary.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, that one's good.
Because then he looks back up. What the?
Oh, I was thinking it was kind of like a Mobius strip where there was. I thought he was going to say there's a. I thought. Okay, I misunderstood what you said. I thought the guy looked under the bed, and there was another little boy who was saying there's someone else under his bed.
Oh, no. It's
going
back on
up.
Top. Oh, yeah. There's somebody on top of my bed. So the guy I already talked to,
the one on top.
Which one is the one?
Well, I guess you just pick the best one, whoever has the best grades. Whoever's going into STEM. No artists or dancers.
Don't be scared of monsters. Just look for them. Look to your left, look to your right, under your bed, behind the dresser, in your closet, but never look up. She hates being seen.
Huh?
Yeah, right. Look up.
All right.
Don't look up.
Sounds like a song. Joke goes to the left, though.
All right. This one is, there was a picture in my phone of me sleeping. I live alone.
Dun, dun, dun. Didn't we have one like that that someone went camping?
Yeah, someone went camping and then there were pictures
each night. Of them.
All right, and then this is the last one. I wake up and everything feels wrong. It's too quiet outside. I look out the
window. Almost too quiet. It's just too quiet, almost too quiet is the cliche. Sorry, just want to get that straight.
I look out the window and see everyone standing still looking at my house.
Huh? Time to move. I don't like that.
I don't like that one. I don't like the bad one with the boys, and I don't like that one.
I think if there was even just two people standing outside my house.
Staring.
Shotgun time.
Yeah, but if everybody's there, it's like, what's in the
forget
room?
It.
Oh, sorry.
Then, you know what? I go out, I go around the back, stand in the back, and be like, get him.
Yeah.
And then I just leave.
Thank you, Kathleen, from
ABC
Gotham.
Yeah, thanks, Kathleen.
Listen to ABC Gotham. It's awesome.
So here's a little hey you didn't know it. This is news of the oblivious living among us. So just before I start this, like, we both have cable. How many channels do you have?
Like
a kabillion.
A billion.
So it says here, the data point, hundreds of channels. People watch about 17 of them.
Yeah, basically.
In the 1979 song, Nobody Home, which is actually an interlude of Pink Floyd. I listened to it earlier today. And they sang about 13 channels on the TV and nothing to watch. They knew nothing.
13 channels of shit.
Yeah. Now it's over 200. Today, people on average have access to nearly 200 channels, but barely watch a tenth of them. And this is grist. I love that word.
It's
grist for opponents of cable channel bundling. So I actually was thinking about this. I went, we have like several hundred channels. I watch 7 channels.
You do?
Yeah. Well, I had to think about what the channels were because I don't watch that many different shows. So I put things on the background. Like, I watch History Channel because the Pawn Stars people in the background. And while I'm, like, doing work around the apartment or whatever, I'll have it on in the background because it's not worth an actual watch. It's background stuff. Then I watch, like, the Food Network. I watch some Discovery Channel. And then there's a couple of other, like, I'll watch maybe, like, Logo or, like, a Travel Channel for one or two shows. But I don't have a show, like, it's just based on the show. So it's not like I put on NBC ever.
Okay.
Or CBS or ABC.
Okay.
ESPN. I think I have like 20 channels.
Oh, that's the biggest ripoff for us that don't care for sports. We can't get rid of them.
No, nope.
We have to pay.
And
for
we
them.
Have to pay for them. And apparently, it's something like 20% of our bill is ESPN. Mm-hmm. I have never watched ESPN.
Yeah.
Even when it was just one channel. Now that's like ESPN La Ocho. I'm not watching that either.
Somebody tried to give me tickets to a baseball game.
Why?
Where
was it? Outside.
On the third, like, it's some amazing, like, a long third baseline, like, three rows in, something didn't go.
No, not interested at all. So I was just, it's like, hey, you didn't know it? There's lots and lots of channels out there, and no one's watching them. You can only watch so much TV.
Yeah, right. And when do we watch? AMC,
AMC.
Bravo,
but
Logo,
I only watch AMC.
Comedy Central, HBO.
I watch AMC when Walking Dead's on, and then I don't watch it again.
Yeah.
Mostly I watch Netflix. So the argument that they're making is that they unbundle these cable channels, that a lot of them will just disappear. Like, there's some really small channels that, like, no one's watching and no one's paying for. And my attitude towards that is, like, good.
Like, well, but then is it the thing, like, hey, you've got to have, like, an outlet for some of these smaller things.
Then just give it away. Don't even try to charge for it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's some, I saw a channel the other day. It was, like, Chiller.
Chiller with the six fingers,
the
hand coming up.
I don't get it, but it's just like, does that need to be on? I don't know. So,
Chiller.
No one is watching TV, apparently.
Oh my God.
What do you have?
I have here another listener email.
Oh, awesome.
From Greg.
Nice.
Your husband. He was saying, this is called the photocopying machine. It says,
oh, Lord. Is this some legal hey you know it?
It's a legal hey you know it. It says here, it's just...
Just full disclosure, my husband is an attorney, and he's on these, like, attorney listserves of ridiculous news.
Yeah, it
so
says...
this is a piece.
It says, when you say photocopying machine, what do you mean?
I say, hey.
Yeah, and there's a video, basically, a 7-minute, 13-second video that is the real deposition... that acted out.
So the question here is, what is a photocopy?
Yeah, there's a new... Okay, okay, so a new series by the New York Times transforms verbatim legal transcripts into dramatic, often comedic
Shouldn't they be writing news?
I know.
The New York Times? Or are they just giving up on that? Now they're trying to do comedy.
So in the premiere episode, an increasingly frustrated plaintiff's lawyer asks a county worker whether his office has any photocopy machines.
So how do you mean?
Objection. Objection, interjects the county's lawyer.
What?
Any photocopy machine, the plaintiff lawyers ask. At this point, the witness responds with a question. When you say photocopy machine, what do you mean?
What is blue?
Yeah. Let me be clear. The term photocopy machine is ambiguous.
Oh.
You can't picture in your mind what a photocopy machine in an office is.
This is a municipal employee, people. Anything's possible.
Goes...
So for 7 minutes?
Yeah, but this is the kind of stuff, you know, how, like...
So there was no case, really.
Basically. And so it's the kind of thing where, you know, like, remember Bill Clinton? What is the definition of is?
Yeah. What a fool. That's when you know someone's lying out their ass.
Yeah. When somebody starts going, what is a photocopying machine?
So what is it? Did this person, like, photocopy their Johnson or something?
Who knows?
And they're just saying...
Who knows?
Like, really?
You know, it's just, what is a photocopy? That's the thing. What is a photocopy?
Contempt in court. That's what it is.
Yeah.
We spend some time in the pens. That's what a photocopier machine is. That's so bizarre.
It's so bad. Thank you, Greg. That was awesome.
I have another legal piece here.
Okay.
Do you know those really hideous shoes, the five fingers?
Yeah,
people are not wearing them so much anymore.
Good.
But they came out of the movement of, and this is what I don't get about this. Okay, so about 10, maybe 12 years ago, they came out with a study that showed that you could run better barefoot.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of people in Africa with no friggin' shoes were, like, hightailing it away from
Kenya,
things.
Kenya, right. They were like, oh, we're winning every marathon. We don't have shoes. So.
No. This is before, like, this is not marathon people. This is just people running barefoot because they didn't have shoes. So they, as a response to this, you would think that people would just stop buying shoes. No, they created shoes that simulate a barefoot.
Right.
Which makes no sense at all. So Vibram was one of these. And apparently they were claiming that the shoes would strengthen the muscles in the foot and prevent injury. They did not.
God.
So now they have to pay everybody back.
Good. And they should.
But it's just so bizarre to me that if the thing is, hey, running... Okay, here's the thing. Not using shampoo is good for you. Here's a shampoo that simulates
not using shampoo.
And it's real fucking expensive. And we're telling you that it's going to make your hair, like, shinier and prettier. You'll probably get laid more often, like, maybe 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
Later on, when that comes out not to be true, you didn't get laid at all.
Right.
Your hair was filthy.
That's
now
right.
I got to pay you back.
Right.
But it's the thing for me about Vibrams is, as I put it, one of my friends on Facebook said that she's like showed up for a first date. Guy was wearing Vibrams. But I decided to go anyway because I just don't care anymore. Like, whenever I see people with, and it just looks so gross.
It does. It looks very,
That's weird.
It looks weird.
Simian.
And it's like, simian, and I don't want to look at the, like, now imagining the shape of the foot.
Yeah. But also, it's even worse. It's one thing if people are wearing them in a training environment, mm-hmm. because people wear all different kinds of shoes, like when you're working out or whatever. But I would just see people coming from down Wall Street with, like, a full suit on.
And this.
Pair of Vibrams.
I can only get behind the socks that are, like, you know, rainbow.
Oh, that each have a toe on them?
Yeah, those are cute. And you have to be under 9 to wear them.
Yeah.
And that's
I mean, it's just, or if you want to, like, there is some benefit to, like, stretching out your toes, but it's like.
But you use your fingers for that.
Yeah, or you can use, like, yoga toes
or something
like that. But it's just, there's just something about the foot already. It's just, you know, not everybody's favorite.
Right.
But to showcase it like that.
To accentuate each toe.
I'm going to
showcase the big toe.
And it just looks weird and ugly. So they have to, basically the shoes were retailing for about $70, mm-hmm. $70 to $100. And each person is now eligible for maybe $95. So they can go out and get a real fucking shoe.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, at the same time, apparently sales of Vibrams are going down because people realize that the feet hurt.
Yeah.
When they're not wearing any kind of padding on them and they're running. It makes sense. I don't know. It's just so bizarre. Barefoot running. Here's a shoe for it.
Yeah. Just love it. Love it.
All right. What do you have?
Oh, here we go.
Well, that looks like fun. It's a photocopied article.
Yeah,
this is Katie keeps it real.
Yeah, this is from Dubai.
Okay. Excellent. From Dubai. So we're giving you some international, hey, you know it.
Stoning for adultery.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, this is
again. Every 2,000 years this comes back.
A maid has been sentenced to death by stoning after becoming pregnant outside of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
In Abu Dhabi, the criminal court gave an Indonesian woman the death penalty after she was guilty of adultery.
Wow, and they won't even let them be citizens. But they'll stone them.
Right. Yeah, it's a cap. Yeah, she.
What about the dude?
Oh, it's fine. You know.
Phew.
Yeah, she's pregnant. She.
Are they going to stone the baby as well?
Oh, good question here. No.
Whoever is doing this clearly has no. Like, I hope these are people who make it robots, aren't they? Because they clearly have zero morality whatsoever.
Yeah, the maid whose husband does not live in the UAE worked for an Arab family in the capital.
Okay.
Official records show she was taken to the hospital after suffering abdominal pain. A medical exam confirmed the woman was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
The maid confessed in court she committed adultery. However, she claimed that she didn't know the whereabouts of the man who made her pregnant.
Why didn't she just say she was raped?
Mm.
She's in the
it's
Middle East.
Worse.
Is that worse? You still get
stoned.
There's nothing you can do.
No,
immaculate conception? That's not going to work.
No.
Yeah, what a nightmare. Are they actually going to do it?
They're going to do it, yeah.
They usually end up not doing these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so whenever I read these articles, it's like, you know, we're going to drop a rock on somebody. And then there's an article and they're like, we've commuted it to just like, you know, a lash.
Yeah. They don't mention what's going to happen to the baby. They don't mention if she's going to bring
the
baby
to term.
Are they
going to wait till she has the baby and then stone her?
Or just stone her now. We don't know. But what also is interesting, right underneath the article, there's an ad for something else that says, always ladies' night.
Where? At some restaurant?
At Maidan Beacon, I
would
imagine.
Always ladies'
it's
night.
It's always
huh?
ladies' night there. That's where you can go.
Yeah.
Stoning?
After the stoning. Wow. So bizarre. I would be very, like, if I were that country, I'd be like, get that off the headlines.
Yeah.
That ladies' night business.
Yeah, right? It's ladies' night.
And the feeling's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, hopefully, usually they commute these sentences to, like, not dropping a rock on people. Because it makes no damn sense.
Right.
You know? Like, I don't know. Why do they even care about this woman?
Yeah.
So bizarre. All right. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks! I'm seriously, the angel of death. It's not, you don't want to see that.
No, to know that he'll be collecting someone there soon.
You should go over and tell them.
It's a damn good, I know.
Yo! You'll never guess who I saw over at the Millers. Yeah, the angel of death, girl. He's coming around.
Somebody in your house.
Somebody, yeah, get your grandmother out
there. It might be Paul.
It might be Phil.
Or Doug.
Yeah.